Welcome to Prospect Spotlight. I'm Neil Solons. The Rays rarely move pitching prospects quickly, but Brent Honeywell is no ordinary pitching prospect. At just 20 years of age, Baseball America and MLB Pipeline have him ranked among the top 50 prospects in the game. And he throws a screwball, something few pitchers in the history of baseball have used effectively. But where Honeywell is similar to most prospects in that he's had growing pains in his first pro season. After moving up from Bowling Green to High A Charlotte, Honeywell gave up 11 runs in 8 1/3 innings over his first two starts. And that led to a growth moment after a sit down with pitching coach Doc Watson.
I needed that. I talked to Doc about it. He's like, look, these are a wash. That's going to happen. What if that didn't happen all the way up to your career where you get into AAA and then the big leagues, and then what? What happens from there? He's like, you're going to know how to, cope with that during the game, because it was against Clearwater. I went six, and I give up six. And I give up six, I think, in the first two innings, and then I just shut them down from there. I was, kicking myself in the tail, telling him, well, what are you doing? It's your first start out here. What are you doing?
Was it somewhat humbling, too?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't say humbling, I guess, is because I'm always kind of a down-to-earth guy. I didn't like it, of course, but it goes back to the fact that I wasn't making good pitches. I wasn't within myself. I don't know what was going on, but I fixed it after the second one, and I really told myself, look, make good pitches. That's all you're worried about right now. Executing your pitches and let the rest fall in place.
You're obviously a different pitcher from a lot because you throw a pitch that most don't. Tell us the evolution of the screwball.
I learned it when I was 13. Took me 2 years to really know what the pitch was going to do and what it was supposed to do. And now I can kind of make it dance a little bit more here and there every now and again. But basically now I've finally got the pitch back. Especially since I've been down here, I've really gotten the pitch back, and it's really evened out some things for me. But the evolution of this pitch, my dad taught it to me. My cousin threw it, which was Mike Marshall, won the Cy Young in 74, maybe 75 with the Dodgers. That was just it. My dad taught me how to pitch. My dad taught me the ropes and cut me free whenever I was in 10th grade. Says I'm not, if you don't know what to do by now, you're in some trouble. So he told me that, and I kind of ran with it.
Very few people throw the screwball. You mentioned Mike Marshall, who did it and did it very successfully. Show me the grip, and how does it differ from your other pitches in terms of the way you grip it?
It's a left-handed breaking pitch coming out of a right-handed arm slot. So it's going to have some fade. It's going to have depth. It's going to have a different spin that – not you can't really do with a right-handed arm for a. It's a fun pitch. I mean, it comes out like that right there. So when it comes out here, I've really got to work my fingers over the front of the ball, and it creates that spin. So that spin's going to run away from a lefty. And then a curveball, you're right there, and that one goes down into a lefty. So if I can kind of imitate that spin, I've got two things breaking at two different angles, which is. That's tough to do, so.
What do you do that other guys don't, and how much more time do you think you have to spend on the field to do your training to be able to throw a screwball?
I don't think the training is not to really throw the screwball. To me, it's a flexibility and strengthening mechanism that I use. I've done it ever since I was 13. It's a 6-pound shot put, so, some people are like, well, do you throw it? I was like, yeah, I throw it. And they're like, I remember I was in spring training, I was coming off the backfields, and I think that's when Cobb and Moore and all those guys were looking at Smiley's car to where somebody smashed in his windshield. Well, I come off the field, and Cobb's like, what is that? I was like, it's a 6-pound shot. And he's like, you throw that thing? He was like, so some guys, they got different things. Some guys like, some guys don't. So, it's kind of one of those things. But I throw it, and But I do throw change. I do throw changeups and screwballs with that too. So that really helps me get grip strength and spin to be able to do that. And it builds velocity. It built my velocity a little bit. So, I mean, that's why I do it.
And you max out, what, mid-90s now?
Yeah, I think I was up to a 7 earlier on in the year. But now, I mean, I kind of like to pitch a little bit and just kind of add and subtract on the fastball a lot more. It's really helping me out a little bit. But, I mean, I can still run it up there with the best of them. So, I mean, I'm not no Chapman or anything, but I can bring one in there pretty good.
What do you want to be 5 years from now?
Where do I want to be 5 years from now? Let's see. I want to be already established by then in a big league rotation. So, I mean, that's what I'm striving for.
Have you learned anything going through a full season about how much better you want to get your body for next year already?
Yeah, I have. I was at a point where, see, I didn't lift very much in high school and college. I didn't like it. It made me sore. I don't like being sore. I don't get that sore when I pitch. So it's, I don't like that feeling. So I wasn't used to it. So I would go here and there without doing a lift or two. And you know, I think Dewey's the one that came into town in BG and said, look, you know, why are you getting red flagged on the report that you're not lifting? I was like, because I don't like to. He was like, well, this isn't for now, it's for later on. So I decided to take it on, and you know, I got down here and really started working, and I changed, man. I felt a difference.
When you're not playing baseball, what do you like to do?
Hunting and fishing and hanging out with my family. My grandparents live here in Lakeland, so they come down as many games as possible. My family comes down as much as possible. And I just kind of hang out with the family.
Do you compete as much in hunting and fishing as you do on the baseball field?
Yeah, my little brother's a fishing maniac. he outfishes me. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm trying to play it off where he doesn't outfish me, but he does. My dad, we hunt and fish. I mean, we do everything. We'd compete in air hockey and chess if it wasn't. If there was no competitiveness, I don't know what I would be like today. So my dad installed that in me. He said, don't get beat, man. Don't ever get beat. And it's like, I mean, you go out and give up 4 in the first. You're not done. You're not done. They want to see what you're made of down here so that when that happens up there, you can live through that. So it's, that's just competing. I'll compete till they say it's over.
The Rays have certainly seen Brent Honeywell compete, moving from Bowling Green to High Charlotte. And the same is true for power hitting prospect Richie Schaefer, who's gone all the way from AA to the majors. Before his meteoric rise, we sat down with Schaefer and asked him to imagine what that first call would be like.
I don't know. It's gonna be difficult to describe to you without actually experiencing it, but you know, hopefully that day will come. So that's what I keep working towards.
On August 3rd, all that hard work paid off, and Richie Schaefer got a well-deserved chance in the show. After a successful first week, he reminisced about that tremendous moment.
It was pretty surreal. You know, I didn't know how I was going to react whenever the day came, and then I sit in the dugout, and you know, Jared, the manager, walked up, shook my hand, said, hey, you're coming out of the game. I was so confused. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, you're going to the big leagues. And I was just shocked. Like, I didn't know. I just stood up and I didn't know what to do. I was just sort of kind of bewildered. It blindsided me so much that I think I was in shock for pretty much the next like couple of days. It didn't really set in, I think, until almost everything was already over. A couple games in Chicago were done. But you know, I was just so excited. I ran inside, I you know, called everyone, and you know, that night I was able to get to sleep, but you know, that I woke up like at 7 and I just wasn't able to go back to sleep. I was just so anxious, ready to go.
What are your greatest memories from that moment and that day?
I just remember, I mean, my first ever at bat, I got hit by a pitch. And it was sort of like, I got up there and, you know, I was definitely a little nervous. It wasn't too bad. I was just I could feel myself a little shaky, like a little jittery. I think it was just, you know, a combination of just, you know, anticipation and so much excitement and adrenaline going all at the same time. And then I got hit by that pitch and it was just sort of like, oh, okay. Just go to first base and, you know, same old, same old. So And then the next day we're facing Sale, and first at bat was the same situation again. You know, I was real jittery and I was like, all right, this is Chris Sale, like you gotta, you know. But then the same thing happened, the bat was over, I'm like, all right, like, settle down, like this is still baseball, like you're still all right. And then after my second at bat, I saw him really well, ended up flying out, but I had a really good at bat and I was like, all right, like I'm getting back normal. I think today's gonna be the day I'm gonna get one. So, and then sure enough, that fourth at bat, you know, got a pitch to hit and took a good swing on it and didn't miss it. And it was going, I was watching, I was just like, come on, man, get out, get out, get out. Sure enough, it got out. So, I mean, it was an incredible experience. I tried to keep my emotions in check around the bases, but I think I was smiling ear to ear the whole time.
And then the unique celebration followed.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, I came in and the guys were in a big huddle just ignoring me or everything. And, you know, I was just kind of being me, playing around, having fun. And, you know, it kind of blew up. It kind of went viral. It was just sort of like some little 15 minutes of fame sensation there, which is pretty cool. But it was just an all-around awesome experience.
To top it off, the first home game you play in, you go 3-for-3 with a game-winning homer. How good did that feel?
That was awesome. You know, that was, you know, that was something that, you know, the first hit was cool because, you know, it's an individual accomplishment. It was, you know, your first major league hit, also happened to be a home run. But I think at that point it was, you know, 10-1. The game was pretty out of hand at that point. You know, and my main goal every time I come out here is I want to help the team, you know, win the game. And so in that home game, you know, I felt like, you know, I was more of a factor in the team winning, which, you know, was a cooler feeling, you know. So coming out here in front of the home fans and you know, having a game like that is pretty cool. It's pretty special.
And we hope there are some great individual moments for Richie Schaefer in September that lead to some team wins. On our next Prospect Spotlight, we'll introduce you to the September call-ups and also who's headed to the Arizona Fall League.